Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome back to the West London Sport QPR podcast in what, even by Rangers standards, has been an eventful week. Saturday's 2-1 defeat to Champions League Leicester ended Gareth Ainsworth's ill-fated 8 months' reign. Less than 2 hours after the final whistle, after his team slumped to a sixth straight loss, leaving them second bottom of the Championship and half a dozen points from safety. All roads appear to be pointed to Neil Warnock returning for a third spell at the club, less than a month after the man who turned 75 in 4 weeks' time left Huddersfield, having come out of retirement once again to keep the Cherries in the Championship last season. However, on Monday evening, QPR announced 41-year-old Spaniard Marty Cifuentes, who's been coaching Swedish side Hammarby for the last two seasons, would be the club's fourth different manager in 11 months. We then had the announcement Amit Bhatia will be standing down from his role as chairman, with Lee Hughes taking over. This now makes Hughes the club's chief executive, de facto director of football, evoking memories of that Little Britain sketch where Dennis Waterman wanted to write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. I'm joined, as ever, by Kevin Gallen and once again by avid QPR development team watchers, Stan Bowles, season ticket holder, Paul Stokes from BBC Six Music. Morning, gents. Well, to talk about this week. Kev, I'll come to you first. No real surprise that Gareth Ainsworth was forced from his role as manager. Perhaps the timing a little bit ruthless, or do you think that's just modern day football?
Ruthless, not really. I think really, if we look back, results-wise, just wasn't there. So I thought, you know, after the Blackburn home game, I thought, you know, with that two-week break, that he'd be gone. So they gave him another three games. But am I right in saying that the Swedish season has finished now? Is that right?
Hammarby have got two games of their season remaining, so it's in the dying embers of the season.
Okay, so it seems like they were maybe just couldn't do it a few weeks ago. I don't know, but the Blackburn game seemed to me when I watched that and he walked off the pitch, I thought then that was sort of the end of his reign. So to get another three games to turn it around, I don't think it was ruthless. I think it had to be done because of the position we're in the table. I mean, we're 6 points off Huddersfield, who are fourth from bottom. So something had to change. And unfortunately for Gareth, that change was him. And as he's the manager, you know, you live and die on results, and the results are nowhere near good enough.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's got a close connection with the club. He was a very, you know, faithful servant for seven seasons, I think, popular figure. But I mean, in hindsight, it really wasn't the appointment they should have made when he was given the job. And I think, you know, I think it's not unfair to say that perhaps the job was too big for him. Kev?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a case of, you know, the style of football that QPR played for you know, 3.5 seasons before he came in with, you know, Warburton, a possession-based style. Then Mick Beale came in and sort of carried that on. And same with, you know, Neil Critchley, that type of style of football where Gareth was completely different. You know, he said he would change his style, but really he would never want it to. I mean, I think the style of football, if he ever tried to change it, was forced upon him, probably by the players, but also with the fans after the first game of the season against Watford. You cannot win, well, constantly. You can win the odd game with 22, 20, whatever, 3%, like they did at Burnley and Stoke away, but you can't, that ain't going to work. You can get lucky a couple of times, but, you know, even, I think, you know, the game against Leicester where it was 18% possession in the first half, I mean, you're at home, you're at QPR, I know they're the best team in the league, but, you know, QPR over the years have played the best team in the league and didn't concede that much possession. And I think the game really before the West Brom game, I'm going to go back, I thought that was, you know, a really poor game. And not only were QPR really poor on the game, but they showed no ambition, especially the first half. And let's be fair, West Brom weren't great either that night in the first half. And if you'd have went and maybe attacked them and had a go, you might end up winning the game. But we just sat back and let them have possession. And then with the lineups and the selection of the team, it's all right if you want to do counter-attacking football. But if you've got no pace on the pitch to do counter-attacking football, it will never work. And we had no real pace in the both games against West Brom and Leicester to play counter-attacking football where soak up their possession and hit them on the break, but no real pace to get in behind. So team selections, results and style of football, you know, just wasn't there. And you just said about it being too big for him. Maybe not. I don't know. But I just think team selections and style of football were the main things that went against his reign.
Okay. Paul, I know you're good friends with Gareth, and I guess it was sort of mixed emotions for yourself, kind of that, you know, hearing the news he went. But I think, you know, for his own kind of mental well-being, I think he looked a kind of shell of a man, you know, towards those last couple of games. It was probably the right decision for all parties.
I think when you go on that kind of run of results, whoever the manager is always going to be under pressure, and probably it's the easiest change that any football club can make at this stage of the season as well, where if you do change the management and the coaching structure, you will have time for the results to bed in. So I can see why the club made the decision they did. I mean, obviously, it's very sad for Gareth on a personal level, particularly those last two games. I thought, you know, as maybe unattractive as they were as a spectacle, I could see what he was trying to do with West Brom and Leicester, which was to kind of just get some confidence back, get a draw against the teams. And you were two absolutely stupid sending offs. I mean, I really cannot fathom, you know, the sending off to both those games. Do it once is, you know, terrible. But then to have a repeat of it on last Saturday was, you know, really cost us what probably would have petered out to a draw. As I say, maybe not the best thing to watch, but, you know, you could see the plan, and to be let down like that, I think is very sad way for his reign to end. But I mean, he was a great player. I watched him obviously playing with Kev, absolutely fantastic player for the club. And I think, you know, he deserves credit for keeping us up last season. People will look at the run of results, but I mean, you look how badly the rump of these players have dropped off and got on really bad runs of form. So I think to be able to get the results that kept us up, Burnley and Stoke away, you know, he deserves credit to keep us in the division. And yes, it didn't work out as we know, those of us who saw him as Wild Thing playing football for the club would have wanted. But I think, we should be thankful that, you know, at least his inspiring some grit and going for it paid off at Burnley last season, which took the pressure off and kept us up in this division. And hopefully then the new manager can come in and build a championship side to stay in the division this year.
Okay. So, Kevin, it did sounded like that Neil Warnock was coming back. There was different people I'd spoken to at the development game on Monday that seemed to suggest that, you know, he'd been contacted and, you know, there was just the matter of discussing money. And then the news emerged that Marty Cifuentes was coming. I mean, for me personally, I thought it was a pleasant surprise. I appreciate what Neil Warnock does as a manager. He's very good at kind of, you know, getting players to want to play and man management, etc. But for me, it would have been a real backward step having him in charge, I think, because even if he'd have kept Rangers up, what do you do then? Do you have to keep him on and then you've got to find a new manager next season? I mean, that's where I was seeing it. It just seemed a retrograde step to employ him. But to bring in a guy from the Swedish league, what are your thoughts, Kevin? What are your immediate thoughts?
Well, regarding Neil Warnock, I thought, one, it's a little bit early for a Neil Warnock saviour. He usually sort of comes into a football club around January, February, and has that effect on the players that quick, where it's 2-3 months, comes in, you know, lifts the players, lifts everyone, and maybe it was a little bit early for Neil, but what I would say, he would have got the crowd right up on his side because of what he's done previously. And I thought, you know, it was the sort of obvious and the safest of appointments to get Neil Warnock in and just say, you know, this is it, here to the end of the season, done. Keep us up, and then you've got 8 months to look for a new manager. And have that, you know, sort of kick the can down the road. You're here to sort of save the day, as it was. And regarding this new manager, I haven't got a clue about him. I think it's a very big risk because he's never managed in the Championship or England. He might be the best manager we've ever had. I don't know. He might be the worst manager we don't know. It's all up in the air, and we will all find out in the next few weeks and few months. And we'll come back here at the end of the season. And if we've stayed up, then it's an absolute great appointment. If we get relegated, everyone will be saying, why didn't we get Neil Warnock in? So he's got a big job on his hands. Obviously, I can from hearing, he's going to change the style of football back to what suits the players. And those players are, i.e. the better players, i.e. that haven't been playing well this season or under Gareth Ainsworth, Willock, Chair, he's got to get his arm around them too and sort of get them on side very quickly and say to them, you're playing. And Neil Warnock would be a genius at this, what he did with Tarapt. I don't care if you have a bad game, you're playing for the next 10, 12 games. You're playing. So he's got to do that with those two players and Lyndon Dykes, because we need goals. And also, I've got a little theory that, you know, the defenders, a lot of injuries with the defenders. And I think the reason why is because when you haven't got any possession of the ball, you're overworked and you're going to pick up injuries because you never have the ball and you're always chasing. So we're going to go back to a more possession style football, which has to be done. Because like I've just said it before, you can't be playing matches and only have 30% football at home, possession of football. You need to be, it's got to be 50-50 or 55, 40, we've got to be above the 50s. So I'm sure he's going to bring that in, but only time will tell what will happen. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Neil Warnock's contribution to QPR should never, ever be overlooked. You know, he gave us one of the best seasons, you know, my memory as a QPR fan. But I just think if he'd have come in and done the job and got Rangers up, kept Rangers up, is he realistically going to walk away at the end of the season and help oversee a new manager? I just don't know if that happens. And then you've got that whole kind of the fan base going, you can't, a lot of fans, you've got to keep him on. Why are we getting rid of him? And I just think it creates too much uncertainty, him being in the role. That's my, and also this talk about, you know, he wants to be living Cornwall, work 2 days a week. I mean, you can't really have that either. That's what I think. I mean, Paul, where do you stand on that?
I kind of agree with Kevin. I think, you know, you look at what Warnock's current impact in football coming in, yeah, after the turn of the year, it seems to be when he has a great impact. I mean, Huddersfield last season was an amazing achievement to keep them up. And so, yeah, I was sort of wondering if he came in now, would you be able to sustain that bubble, that kind of, which obviously he did brilliantly the season he got us promoted, but would you be able to, with players who possibly weren't your players, sustain that bubble of like, come on, we're all going for it. I kind of like this appointment. It feels like there is some longevity to it. It's not like we're going to appoint someone and then at the end of this season, we're going to change again and we change again. I mean, QPR are getting into a position now where we are getting potentially going to get a reputation for sort of never having coaches that last. I mean, you look at, you know, Hasselbank, McLaren, both went before the end of their seasons. Obviously, Critchley, Gareth's gone now. Even the Warburton years ended sourly. I mean, he's the last manager who actually saw out his contract, but it all ended in the kind of like, oh, this isn't thing. So I think it's good if we can bring a manager in, if he can have an impact on this group of players, which obviously a change sometimes, you know, we see this in football so much, a change of regime just has that impact and galvanizes squads. I think obviously the other thing that I think is good about him is, you know, coming from the leagues he's played in, the Scandinavian leagues, he's not had budgets and he's not had the best players, but he's obviously he has a philosophy and a way he wants to play football based on his sort of roots of coming from Barcelona and watching Cruyff managing that, they're a great team. So he's obviously achieved this without going in and spending loads and loads of money and having the greatest players. So I'm hopeful that he can come into this squad where there is obvious talent there. There is people who can definitely play the way he wants to play, but also isn't going to be expecting to go, I need to buy, you know, 20 new players and we're going to change it all. So I'm hopeful he will have an immediate impact, or certainly an impact after the international break when he really gets to work with the players, and that, you know, between now and the end of the season, he can really build something for next season. And that's the great thing. The fact that he will, you know, I don't think with him there's any question, if he does well, he will be there at the start of next season.
Quick question. Just say, for instance, comes February, we're 8-9 points off safety. Do they go again? Do they then go for Neil Warnock? I don't know. So it's, someone asked me that and it was a good question. I'm just putting it to you guys. So we're in February with nine points off relegate, off bottom four, off fourth. What'd you do?
I mean, it all depends on the situation, doesn't it? I mean, I mean, personally, I don't think he can be any worse than what Gareth Ainsworth was. Personally, I don't think that. Seriously, I just think that was a disastrous appointment from day one. It was never going to work. He's got his work cut out.
It's a big job he's got on his hands
I just think that maybe you go for it. It depends if the football is really bad, the players aren't playing for him, the crowd's turning on him, then yeah, maybe the factors you bring in more.
But let's get it right. We're not scoring goals and we're conceding loads. So he's got a massive job on his hand. It ain't going to be easy. I mean, Saturday, what's going to happen on Saturday? Rotherham are going to come out of the traps and come and try and beat QPR up. QPR, we're going to have to withstand that pressure and then hopefully, second half, get the ball down and play it around a bit. That's what's going to happen. Or we come out of the traps really and go for it as well. It is really interesting, and we're going to find out in the next month or so how good this manager is. And there's no doubt about it. Chair, Willock, Dykes, but they look to me sort of downed a bit of tools on Gareth there at the end.
I'm saying
Willock, but he didn't really play, but it just looked that way.
Yeah. Well, Marty Sorrentes spoke to the media for the first time today, and here's what he had to say about his first game in English football at Rotherham.
I know how it is when a manager comes in the middle of the season. So the energy is totally different. So actually, the trainings we had with the lads in the pitch have been fantastic in terms of attitude, in terms of focus, in terms of energy. The mood is good. Then, of course, as you said, it's very difficult to just forget everything for these guys. They have been struggling on the last games, that's fair. And we need, it's part of my job to make sure that we get back their self-confidence. But so far, it has been a very good approach. I'm so happy about the way they have been taking the practices and the focus and the concentration. And yeah, looking forward to get just this result, this sparkle that can change the dynamic.
The style of football you want to adopt, it's been discussed already, but that style of football is a style this team has played in the last sort of three and a half years under previous managers, which they've kind of gone away from under the last manager. Does that make it easier for you to come in and know that there is talented players that can play from the back, can play through the thirds?
It's one of the main reasons why I came here, actually. As I said, I have a strong belief in what this squad can do. Otherwise, if I felt that I'm so far in terms of philosophy, in terms of my way of understanding the game, on what these players can do, it will not make any sense to come here. So I definitely think that there is potential to play the game according to the way I feel. Then, of course, I need to learn more about them to see how I can get the best of all of them. But, yeah, as I said, I think it fits very well what the club wants, what the players have on themselves, and what do I think that we need to do to perform well and to win games.
Yeah, but as you say, it's about Willock and Chair. I mean, Gareth really died on that Chris Willock hill, didn't he? You know, I think giving him 2 minutes at the end of the Leicester game and 9 minutes at West Brom, and, you know, he brought him on first game of the season at Watford. It was, he got a minute at the end. I think he played 45 minutes against, I can't remember who it was, Sunderland maybe, and was hooked at half time. It just seems he wasn't his sort of player. Did they down tools? Yeah, maybe they did. I think talking to another reporter the other night at a game I was covering, who's done a bit of QPR, and he said that he did the Swansea game and said Chair was amazing, the way he ran around and was involved. But then he did the Blackburn game and it looked like he just gave up, wasn't interested. And I guess when you've played a certain style of football and you feel you're not being utilised properly, maybe they did down tools. I mean, you'd have seen that plenty of time in your career, I guess, Kev, that players just not playing for the manager or deciding the manager doesn't, they're not having the manager, for want of a better phrase.
It's not like, I don't think anyone goes out and deliberately giving it, I'm not going to try today. But I do believe that if you're not playing in the position you want to play, and then you're thinking, oh, I've got to run back here now, I might just, you know, take a chance to skive that one off. And when you do that, that's when normally a goal happens, when that split moment, you go, I'm not going to run back there. And then you're like, oh God, I should have run back there. Do you understand? It's not, I'm walking on the pitch, I'm not going to try a leg, because you just get hooked straight away. But there's like, am I going to make that run, that extra run? No, I'm not today. But if I'm with a manager I really like and he backs me, I'll make that run and I'll keep making that run. So, That's what I believe.
Yeah, because, I mean, Paul, we were discussing this on Saturday after the game that, you know, I mean, we're both huge Ilias Chair fans. I think Ilias is a tremendous professional. I think, you know, he's always available. He's very rarely injured. Always wants the ball. He's a credit to himself. Yeah, he's not the finished article. There's still things he can do better. But I think the sight of him trying to run the ball, trying to create something in the second half against Leicester and having like four orange shirts around him and, you know, Kenny Powell back in his own half. That, I mean, this time last year, Powell was bombing down the wing and creating outlets and all sorts. I mean, do you think the players perhaps let Gareth down?
I think there's no more excuses for the sort of grump of players. And I do kind of exempt Chair and Sam Field from this, because I think of the last two or so seasons, they're two players I would always say gave, you know, a lot of effort. And I, you know, even if they're not playing, you know, and they've played all over the park for various managers, you know, of Sam Field, I thought was great in defence actually against Leicester on Saturday. But I think that, you know, the excuses are over now. You whatever the suggestion there may have been, the rumours coming out, it was a cultural issue, whatever. You've got a position now where you're going, you've gone through what, how many managers in the last two seasons? Okay, one left, you know, but you've got rid of, you know, Critchley when Gareth's gone, you've now got a manager in who's obviously got very precise philosophy. I mean, I thought it was interesting, the interview he gave to the club website. It's probably the most football based interview I've seen the new manager do in a long time. Possibly that might be a language issue and they've focused on areas where he feels more comfortable. But I did think it was one of, he really focused on the details of the game and how he wanted to play. So I think, you know, this group of players, particularly the ones who weren't getting in the squad, you know, some of the more creative players, there's no more excuses now. You know, you've gone through loads of managers. If it doesn't work, you know, if people could see, you know, fair enough, the results might not get away, but if people could see that, you know, that they're putting the effort in and they're trying and they're responding to the manager, then fair enough. But if you get another thing in, like, by sort of start of January in that nightmare scenario Kevin was describing earlier, you're going to sort of go into question like, well, who is the, you know, what difference will a new manager make at this point? If this group of players constantly are going in these slumps, these bad run of forms, I hope, I think, you know, it looks like from what's been said is that Marty was one of the people they were considering around the start of last season when they went for Michael Beall. So there's obviously been due diligence done and how he would work with these with the core group of players as well as obviously the people who come at the start of this season. So I'm hopeful that they will respond, you know, and that they will put the effort in. But I think there is a real onus on, particularly the players that have been there longer, bar the two I mentioned, to really, really make the most of this opportunity. You know, you can't keep changing managers because at some point we're going to run out of anyone decent who wants to get involved.
Yeah. It's interestingly, I was at Crystal Palace 2 weeks ago and a man that Kev knows very well, Roy Hodgson, was talking, and he was talking about Ange Postecoglou. The pre-match press conference before their game against Spurs last week. And he was asked about, was he surprised that the success that Postecoglou's had at Tottenham, having had no experience in English football? And the point he made was that he felt that was an overplayed thing, that managers, it's easier for managers to adapt to a new environment than it is for players. It's more players who come from overseas and they're thrown into English football will struggle more than a coach will. If you're a good coach, you're a good coach. I thought it was really interesting, but I think the most important thing with this managerial appointment is communication, and his English is outstanding. It's very good. It's, you know, probably better than mine. But
you wanted to say that, Ian, didn't you?
Yeah, but you do. It's all very easy. We see lots of clubs, Watford are one of them, that employ numerous managers. A lot of them come in, their English is, they can get by, but it's not great. And I think that, you know, communication is so important, particularly where the team is at the moment. You know, he can come in and get his message over and talk about what he wants the players to do. That's so key. And I guess, I mean, Kev, would you have played under many foreign managers in your career?
Is Scottish people foreign?
No, but the point I'm trying to say is that communication, you know, coaching is coaching and what have you. You've got to be able to...
Yeah, communication, everything, yeah. You have to be able to get your point across, one, on the training pitch of what you... or what's, you know, style of football you want to do, your training, but also communication for team talks, half-time team talks, post-match team talks, also communication when you're talking to the players personally, one-to-one, and, you know, you are... Some players need a kick up the backside. Some players need an arm around them. So you need that communication, and you need not only the communication of the language, but you need communication skills and, you know, humility and stuff like that. Where can you talk to him in a certain way that he'll respond, or I might have to have a go at him a little bit more because I'll get more out of that player if I shout at him a little bit. So everyone's a little bit different. So communication skills, not only just language, but in the way you say things to certain players is vitally important.
Kevin, can I ask, from a player's perspective, how much does a manager's philosophy cut through to the playing side? Because obviously it's very fashionable in football at the moment. People talk about, oh, he's coming with a philosophy and he wants to play this way. And I know managers write dissertations on how they think the game should be played when they do their licenses now. So as a playing group of players, when someone comes and say, this is my philosophy on football, do the players respond to that? Or is it just, tell me what you want me to do in a particular position?
Well, yeah, I mean, my first manager really was Jerry Francis, and he would do team shape like twice a week. So you sort of knew the positions you should be in off the ball and when on the ball. But he was very good at organising a back four and the midfield in front of them. You know, this new manager is saying a philosophy, but let's not get away from it. He's going back to a style of football that pretty much 90% of the teams in the Championship play this style. So he's just going back to what everyone else really does. You know, Millwall a little bit more aggressive, but even they've gone a little bit tame, where Luton last year wore a very long ball and got promoted on that style of football. But the majority of teams in the Championship and also obviously the Premiership play, when they have the ball, they roll the ball out from the back and they try and break through the thirds, as they say, and get the ball and to their wide men. And a lot of players, you know, you'll have a right foot on the left and a left foot on the right, cutting in and shooting or crossing it. So he'll do that in his training and he'll say, right, we're going to roll out the ball from the start. This is what we're going to do. Where that was missing under Gareth, we had Begovic, you know, kicking it long, and he didn't really have that long of a kick for me, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? So I think there'll be a lot more of playing the ball out from the back, but the players will be used to it because the majority of their career, they've had that. The majority of their career, they've had that, but also every youth team plays like that. So they've been brought up in every academy in this country playing that way. So it ain't going to be hard to really go back to what they've been doing because they've been doing it pretty much all their career except for the last 8 months.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that, Kev, because myself and Paul were at the development game on Monday, and I'm not for any stretch saying that these kids are all going to be playing in the first team, but it's very noticeable that they play in a far different manner to the first team play. It is rolling from the back and playing through the thirds and that kind of thing. I completely understand what you say, but do we think that, the modern day player as well, it's all about, you've only got to watch those all or nothing things that have been on Amazon, and you know, coaches taking away Ben White's, have a sit there and watch him tape together and doing all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is a lot of forensic analysis of football. I mean, you can't move for analytics talk and this and that. And I mean, he's 41 years of age. He's obviously from that sort of background. I mean, do you think someone like Gareth's approach is perhaps a bit outdated now? Do you think that players just don't react to sort of, let's be climbing trees and doing the hacker, that kind of thing? Or is that just a bit of, you can't do that anymore. The players want detail. They want to be bulked up. They want kind of forensic, you know, to be forensically told what they need to be doing on the pitch.
But I think, you know, if you have a, you know, so that pre-season, I think they lost the first game against Sparta Prague, and then and obviously it was a poor result, whatever happens in pre-season. And then the next day they're climbing trees and you're like, what's that going to do? If you want to get better, you go back out and on the Sunday and you start practicing defending. That's what I would think. Or you just give the lads a day off and say, forget that. Monday, we'll come back. I'm going to really work really hard. But I don't really get what climbing trees is going to do. Unless that's the job you want to go into when you finish your career. Tree cutter. I think that sort of, look, you can have a bonding and have a fit and stuff. But, you know, I've been there as a player and you just literally, we done quite a lot of stuff. Like, we went to ballet. I didn't get involved in that. I've been very vocal on that. I just stood there and shook my head. And that was actually quite a funny thing because they took us, they didn't even tell us before where we were going. And we're in a minibus.
Just to backtrack here, this is under Ian Holloway, yeah?
So we got picked up at the, we said, everyone in the minibus, we're like, where are we going? So we've driven through London. We're like, where are we going? I think Tim Breaker was driving. So we end up wherever we were, London Ballet School. And I ain't joking, there was about 15 of us in this minibus. And Tim got out and we said, we ain't getting out. And we started singing, we're not getting out. And I'm telling you, we're rocking it. And at one stage, I actually thought it was good. We got Dan Chittu there. It's like, he's doing that. The thing was rocking. And we were like, we're not getting out. And then Tim came, 2 minutes later, he came back out. He said, you don't come back, get out now. Ian's coming out. And he's losing the plot. Was all just walked out, and I just remember standing next to Kenny Jackett at the back giving it, what are we doing here? And he just went. But we've done quite a few things like that. We've done a bit of assault course. We went to army camp a couple of times for pre-season.
You need a bit of that, or else you'd have nothing to talk about in the reunion events 20 years hence.
Yeah, well, not there was there. We've done orienteering as well, and Terrell Forbes and Marcus Bean decided to get lost. And we were waiting for about an hour and a half for them. They didn't even make... We started out at zero. They didn't even... And we had to go to 20 posts. I don't think they made number one. They ended up about 4 miles down the beach. We were waiting long. Yeah, fair play. That's great team. Taking the mick out of two lads. Brilliant.
I mean, there is still a little bit. I mean, Sean Dyche is very big on this kind of stuff as well, I know. And I mean, even Arteta at Arsenal, he's, you know, got a dog at the training ground and, you know, bringing photographers in to give team talks, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it can work to a degree, I guess. But if you're not winning, it gets criticised, doesn't it? You know, if the team was in the playoffs, everyone would be saying how good Gareth's approach was.
The thing with the hacker is, I mean, we've said it before, but the thing with the hacker is they should never have put it out on media. But two, if you do win the next game, everyone will say it was the hacker.
Mm.
You're in a no-win situation. You lose, what are they doing the hacker for? So, but yeah. Why is the dog at the training ground? Whose dog is it? Is it just a stray?
I don't know. You know, it's a Doberman, apparently. I think it's a Doberman. It lives at the training ground. It's like, it's...
If you don't run fast, Doberman barks at you.
Well, he's probably barking the day after losing to the West Ham 3-1 last night. But, but there we go. Right, so, I mean, what a welcome to English football for Marty. Away to Rotherham. Rangers have got pretty poor record there in recent years. They lost there last year, the year before that. I vaguely remember them losing 1-0 and Sandro dialing in a performance in midfield. So, I mean, again, it's interesting what he's going to do because I don't know who's going to play centre midfield. Colbacks and Dzela both suspended. I don't know. Again, is he fit? Is he back? I mean, Jimmy Dunn returns from suspension. I don't know. What is him doing midfield? I don't know who he's going to play there.
Well, if Jimmy Dunn's back, he's got to put, with those two missing, he's got to put Field back in midfield.
Well, he'll have to, yeah. Field in midfield and then... Yeah, so that would be...
I feel for a bit for Sam Field because he's a very good player. He should be captain, in my opinion. And...
He shouldn't be?
He should be captain.
Yeah.
He should be captain. And it'd be interesting to see if he does get the captaincy now with a new manager. He should be captain. He should be playing in his best position, which is in front of the back four. And he's very good at that.
Hmm. It will be interesting, actually, with Begovic, because, I mean, he's had the most successful time of his career is spent at Bournemouth. You know, who always played very progressive football from the back, so maybe it might suit him better, kind of not having the pressure of lumping it down the field and shanking it into the stands. You know, that might work in his favour. But
well, Ian, look, if you're conceding 70% possession every game, you're going to be under pressure all the time, aren't you, as a defence and a goalkeeper? So if you've got the ball a bit more, you're not going to be under that sort of intense pressure all game.
Mm. So, right, prediction time. Paul, I know you made the long trip up to the New York Stadium last season. Won't be there this week, unlike myself. I'm making my debut at Rotherham. I've not been to Rotherham before. It's a new ground for me.
It's a nice little ground.
Yeah, I went to the old Millmore years ago, but I haven't been to the new stadium. So, what are you thinking, mate?
I mean, it's tricky. I mean, the midfield is a big question. It'd be great if the manager had come in and had a full house to choose from. I mean, obviously he will play differently, so he probably won't, you know, necessarily. He likes to play a 4-3-3, doesn't he? That's what he was saying. Sort of his structure is. So, I mean, a 1-1 draw maybe. Yeah.
Kev, a bit
of possession, resolute.
I haven't been to that ground, but I did play at the old one, and I also played at the Don Valley Stadium when Rotherham were there, which was absolutely soulless. That was like playing at Linford Christie Athletics track. It is going to be interesting. He says he plays 4-3-3. Is that a narrow three midfielders and then wide the front three wide and one centre forward, or is it going to be two and one in? Two holding midfielders and maybe one like a chair number 10 and then a wide and two wide men. Very interesting. We'll see. We'll find out. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to absolutely copy you, Paul. I think 1-1. We need to get off to a good start. This is a game where we cannot lose. I don't think we can't lose. It's if we can't win, definitely one of those. We definitely do not lose this game. So I'm going to go for 1-1.
I'm going to be positive. I was encouraged to hear that Cifuentes has arrived, before he arrived at the training ground. He'd watched pretty much every game this season and watched games from last season. So he knows what's good and knows what's bad.
He shares our pain then.
Sorry?
He shares our pain.
He touched my pain. And he still came and he still took the job. I'm going to go with, I think they're going to win 2-0. I think the shackles will be released. I think, you know, Chair will be playing with the vibrancy he's displayed previously. I think Willock might get a game. I think there's quite a good feeling about this appointment. I think the positivity from the fan base seems to be quite widespread. I'm going to go 2-0. 2-0. It'd be good. It'd be good. I mean, 7 defeats in a row. I don't even remember keeping 7 in a row. That would be horrendous. But, I mean, but really, this again, they have to win. They have to get something out of this game. Otherwise, it's kind of, they're almost doomed before, it feels like almost doomed before he's got his feet under the table. So it's a big job for him. But I'm going to go positive. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday aren't very good. They beat Rotherham last week. They'll be looking to bounce back from that. But there's no reason why Rangers, you know, can't win this game. And I'm hoping the managerial bounce, which doesn't happen very often under QPR managers, can actually happen under this manager. So there we are. Right. Okay, gents. Well, thanks very much for your time. Paul, have a good weekend. Kev, you too. And thanks for joining us. And like, subscribe, etc. We're also on Spotify and iTunes and various other podcast platforms. So we'll see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.